Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
We receive every single thing that you have released for us, every single thing. I bind and break every spirit that would try to hinder or deceive or steal. Every lying spirit that has tried to stop your people from walking in the fullness that you have, that ends today. That's ending right now. It's ending. I expose every demonic force that's been lying to you. I expose it tonight. You'll see it. Some of you have been duped by a lying spirit that has masqueraded as God. And the problem is, if you don't know the way God's heart is towards you, you might believe it. If you don't know the truth about God and who He is and what He's done and His love for you, His love for your family, if you don't know that, you will eat the wrong food and it can be a deception. And God says, enough is enough. You're my children, I won't have it. You're my kid and I won't have it. And I'm tired of my children getting beat up and allowing it because they think it's me. And I'm hearing enough is enough. Say no. Say no to the demon entities. See them for what they are. I feel like God is pulling back a curtain and saying, do you not see what that is? Do you not see that thing for what it is? I know I'm talking to more than one person. Some of you have been beat up. You've been hit. You've been, you know, I see bullets flying. And because you haven't known enough truth in your inmost parts, it's one thing to know it in your head. You may know a ton of Bible in your head. But it's the truth you have in your inmost parts. The revelation on the inside. Head knowledge doesn't always help. It's a good thing, head knowledge, but it's what you know in your guts. When the devil comes calling, you say, wait a minute, this smells. There's something smelly about this one. Something's not right about this one. Any devil that tries to lay a guilt trip on you, it's a devil. You say, well, what if I did wrong? Well, what if you did? Did Jesus not intervene? Of course He did. Oh, pardon me, I've got to turn that down. My phone is talking to me. I don't want it to talk to me. God says He is revealing, He is exposing, and He is bringing to light. Once and for all, He said, I'm done watching my children get beat up because they can't tell the difference. It's like drinking bad water that has bad bacteria in it because you can't taste the difference. And He says, I want you to taste of the water of the Lord, because the only way you'll know a counterfeit is if you know the real. The only way you'll see and recognize counterfeit is to taste the real. And if you haven't tasted enough real, then you'll eat and drink the counterfeit and feel like God is mad at you, or you can't receive, or, oh, somehow it doesn't apply to you. It applies to other people, but not to you. If you ever feel like, well, God does that for other people, but not for me, that's a demon. I'm done mincing words. I've tried to be polite for years. I'm done. Do you know what? People don't take hints. People don't get hints. You try to, I'm from Wheaton. We're very settled. You know, well, not anymore. Changing my address. And the reason is God loves His children. He loves them. And He loves them so much that He died, was brutalized, tortured, and shed blood to produce and provide and purchase something that can never be taken. And yet His children will look, they'll stand on the outside of the fence and look in self-pity and poor me, and I have it so bad, and God doesn't care, It is a lie from the pit. But God can't make you change your mind about it. He continually invites. But it's up to you. You can stay out there as long as you want, or you can come in and dine. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. But he won't make you come and sit at the table. He won't make you eat his food. And it hurts his feelings when we, you know, it's, what does it say? It says you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You can't. And what the problem is with us is we don't always know. We don't always realize when we've been drinking of the wrong cup. We don't. Sometimes we know, but sometimes we don't know. Last Sunday, I was in a service and I heard myself say, I heard the Lord say through me, that he was removing the cap of limitations. And I saw this almost like a brass or metal cap of limitations on somebody's head. And I saw God flinging that thing off. Because you can't bless somebody if they've got that metal cap on of I can't receive. God has already released to you everything you need. Has already. It is legally yours by covenant right. But you have to receive it or you won't get it. And why don't we sometimes receive? And I was the worst offender in this. That's why I talk about it. Because I so believed the lies of the enemy and didn't know it was an enemy. Did you know that depression is a demon? Suicide is a demon. Failure, a spirit of failure, is a demon. When you have continual thoughts that cycle over and over and they're negative, it ain't you. Do you hear me? Yes. And I love you, but you need truth and you need a little deliverance. And I did too. I'm not judging anybody. I was horrible about this. I just didn't have enough truth in the inmost parts. And so when all this horrible stuff happened to me, I got mad at God because I had in my head, God is sovereign and he loves me. What is the deal? Why isn't he helping? And if God could be confused, he would have been like, what? Tilt? Does she not know me better than that? No, evidently not. I was being bludgeoned by demons and all I thought of was it was how I felt. Do you hear me? It was my emotions raging, self-pity, raging, woundedness, pain. God didn't come through for me. Yeah, it wasn't God that didn't come through for me. And sometimes things happen in the earth because of humans. And God has sovereignly, in his sovereignty, given every human sovereignty. Did he not say, let us make man in our image? What does that mean? Let us make man in our image. Who are we? Who's he? A creator? A speaker of miracles and power? With creative power? Completely in truth. If Adam hadn't fallen, we would walk in complete truth. But what happened is we took on the sin nature of our new dad because Adam and Eve sold out. They sold out. They became deceived and we were born with the wrong genes in our natural. Right? We were born with the wrong DNA. And until we were born again, the devil was our dad. Jesus said to the Jews, you are of your father, the devil. That's what he said to them. They got mad. No, we only have one father, that's Abraham. He went, uh-uh. When you got born again, you changed fathers. You changed families. You know, God was showing me something during worship. You know, we have... Some of you are familiar with the shield of faith. I love the shield of faith because the shield of faith has saved my life. In Ephesians 6, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked. That means every rotten thought, every dirty lie, everything that he can throw, if you will walk in faith in the Word of God and go, nope, that's not mine. Yep. Nope, I'm not taking that. He cannot make you take it because you are a sovereign entity. But if you take it and you dine on it and you start speaking it and you start proclaiming it and you start whining and dining on the thing, it becomes yours. And if you're not careful, you will spiral downwards until you can't even hear truth anymore. That's how people backslide, and that's how they die. And I've seen it with these two eyes. I'm sorry if I'm being blunt, but I have to say what I've seen. I'm tired of seeing people backslide and walk away because of a stupid wound and the devil lying to them about what really happened. I thank God for the day that the Holy Ghost kind of slapped me around a little and corrected me and got in my face. He did it with love. But if he hadn't done it, I would not be alive. I would not be alive. Because I was so steeped in self-pity. The demon of self-pity. I was steeped in the demon of depression, the demon of failure, and the demon of suicide. And I was wallowing in the thoughts and the emotions daily and spiraling downward in trash because I could no longer perceive truth. Because all I could see was my life was ruined and I had a huge series of wounds and scars on the inside and it seemed like God didn't care. You know why it seemed like that? Because the devil was feeding me all this trash. And all the time, these problems weren't caused by God. They were caused by humans who were acting according to their free will. Humans can, of their own free will, do things that are totally not in God's will. Yes, even Christians. Yes, even born-again Christians. Even spirit-filled Christians. Because you know why? God does not take away your sovereignty. He has given you free right and free reign even to do badly. He doesn't want you to because he wants you to walk in all the blessings, all the victory, all the glory, all the presence, all the power, all the miracles, every bit of blessing and healing. Yes, prosperity, don't get mad, it's true. Search the scriptures to see if these things be so and you'll find they're so. He longs for his children to have victory every day in every circumstance. It is the devil that comes to steal and kill and destroy and persuade you that all this junk is your lot in life and that God wanted it that way. It's not true. And if you think it's true, you don't know your scriptures, and I didn't either. God is trying to get us free from evil thinking, because evil thinking will kill you. And you know what? You know, when you're a person, listen, I was suicidal. I didn't, thank God, God prevented me from actually doing it. But I thought about it every day, and I thought about it all day, because I was so much in pain. You know, when you're in a lot of pain, you can't think straight. And I was in a lot of pain. I couldn't think straight for some years. And when that's the case, all you can think of is yourself. You're so self-absorbed, you don't even think about what it would do to somebody else. You don't think about the damage you can do to other people. You don't have any idea how many people your life touches. You have no idea the impact that you have on people. And so when you become self-absorbed and you start feeding on the devil's devices, you run the risk of doing great damage to many. I hate to say it, but I feel like the Lord wants me to say it. Remember what Jesus said about somebody who causes one of the little ones to stumble? It'd be better if they had a millstone hung around their neck and dropped to the bottom of the sea. Have you ever seen a millstone? It's a cement thing, sometimes 6, 7, 8 feet wide and about that thick. That's a pretty terrible thing to say, isn't it? But what you don't see when you're self-absorbed and soaking in your own pain is you don't see that you may be causing others to stumble because your mouth gets in gear. When you're in pain, your mouth gets in gear. Because you know, people in pain want to talk about their pain. I don't know why we're here. We're just here. God wants to pull you out of that whole thing and have a session a mentorship session because he wants to pull out the weeds that the devil has sown. The devil sows tares. And you know what? That scripture may mean, you know, evil people in the kingdom. Could mean a lot of things. But I'll tell you one kind of tare or weed I've seen is that Satan sows seeds in your soul. When you have a wound, when things have happened that really hurt, when things don't seem right, even, I'm just going to say it, even when you don't just get enough sleep, when you are vulnerable from any kind of thing like that, let's say you had a sudden hit in your finances, maybe you're more vulnerable. Maybe you had a hit in your marriage, you're more vulnerable. Maybe you had somebody say something to you at church that was just mean, you're more vulnerable. When you have a wound or a hit of any kind, you are vulnerable, and here's what happens. You don't get a stronghold from the hit. A hit can't give you a stronghold because Jesus took more hits than any of us. What makes you get a stronghold is how you respond. Let's say somebody comes along right in this meeting. Spirit-filled Christian comes along and they're having a bad day and they just haul off and belt you one. They just really sack you in the jaw. And you know, it dislocates your jaw, you're in pain, and you're like, now you've got a real opportunity to have an offense because what they did was wrong. And you may feel justified in your anger. And you could even prove that you're justified in your anger and your offense. You may respond any number of ways. And here's where it gets in. Now, I'm trying to help tell you how to get free, actually. You may say, I will never go to another Christian meeting because they hurt me there. You know, there's people who won't set foot in a church because church hurt them. Now, I'm not saying whether you should or shouldn't, but the issue is the heart. You want to know how to walk free from warfare? Get your heart clean. Get your heart clean. Get the junk out of your heart. The devil has nothing on you. Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming. He has nothing in me. Can't do a thing to me. Why? Jesus was full of truth. He had truth in the inmost parts. He was truth going somewhere to happen. Couldn't do a thing to him. Satan says, I'm going to kill you. Jesus goes, yeah, well, hallelujah, I'm here to do it. I'm here to do God's bidding, not here to do my own will. Hallelujah. By the way, you can't do it till I let you. That's what Jesus' response basically was. Yes, I realize that, devil. But you're only able to do it because I'm letting you. Remember his words to Pilate? You wouldn't even have the authority if God didn't give it to you. If God didn't release you to do this, you couldn't do it. You see how much truth was in him? So you might say, well, I'm never going to another meeting. Or I'll never trust that guy again. Or I'll never trust whatever, Lutherans again. I'll never trust that color skin again. I'll never trust people who believe in that doctrine again. Your response might be to hide out. I'll just stay alone. I'll just be alone. I'll be a hermit. You're dealing out of a wound. And what happens when you deal out of a wound in any way that isn't God, you open the door to a stronghold, which is a very nice word for a demon spirit. Okay. If your reaction was, I'll get you before you get me, Buster. I'll hit you first. You're responding out of a wound, right? We all do it. Everybody does it. I'm not pointing fingers. We have all done it. But all of us may respond differently. Now, what's the problem? The minute that happens, now what you have is a wound or a scar. If that doesn't get healed, and you allow certain reactions, now you've got something like a, let's just draw a word picture. Let's like a web. If you could see a picture of someone's soul who's not free, sometimes you'll actually see like kind of cobwebs where Satan has been allowed because he has no sovereign right in the earth. Do you hear me? Jesus stripped him of all sovereign right. Who has sovereignty? Humans. Humans, when you see people acting badly, when you see people murdering, when you see people raping, when you see people abusing, you're looking at people who have sovereignly allowed the demon to get in. They don't know that, though. They're acting out of their strongholds. Unbelievers can't even help it. They don't even know about this. believers don't, a lot of believers don't know about it and are still walking in their strongholds. Is this too hard for you? God has given all of us sovereignty, and what that means is we can take a good hard look and say, here's the problem with this stuff. These webs and strings, because over the course of your life, think how many wounds you were dealt. You can't even remember them all, can you? Of course not. We don't even remember the guy that said something mean. You know, I remember a kid in kindergarten making fun of me and Wesley Ellison because our mothers were friends. So, Ollie and Wesley. Billy Jackson, I'm going to get you for this. You know, you were like five, you know. Or the time in fourth grade you got made fun of, or somebody pushed you down and put mud in your face. You know, think of all the times. Think of high school, blah. Think of college, ugh. All the stuff. Think of business. Think of your job when somebody treated you like you were not right. Something was wrong with you and we're cool. You're not. We've got it. You don't, you know. Well, all those things, whether your conscious mind remembers them or not, there's a part of you that remembers every single thing that ever happened. Some people call it the subconscious. Some doctors say, no, it's something else. But whatever it is, we know it exists. Here's the problem. All of our behavior, I'm going to say that what the doctors say, is that like 90% of your behavior comes out of stuff you are not consciously aware of. Like when you drive, you don't really even think about braking and accelerating, turn right. You don't really, that's autopilot, isn't it? If you've done it for enough years, you just do it. At first, you're conscious of it, right? When you're eating and watching TV and texting all at the same time, or talking to your kid or whatever, you're doing a whole bunch of stuff at once because you've been doing it so long. It's autopilot. A friend of mine is a piano teacher, and she's been teaching piano for decades, and she can hold an entire conversation with you while playing complicated stuff. I cannot do that. But she has so much in what they call finger memory. It's not really finger memory, but she's done it so much that she can hold an intelligent conversation with you while she's doing this. That's very impressive. But what's happened? She's been programmed to be able to do that. I said she's been programmed to be able to do that. Do you get it? Your mind, your soul, is a computer with the ability to retain offenses, scars, wounding, vendettas, anger, defensiveness, bitterness. That's why people remember stuff their spouse did 20 years ago. And it never comes up till they're having an argument about who ate the last French fry. And all of a sudden, here comes this thing from 20 years ago. Really? You haven't let go of that yet? And the problem is, if you could see in the soul, you might see a wound, a scar, a divot. I saw one lady got healed of fibromyalgia. She was asking me for prayer for healing. And I went to touch her shoulder, and I saw a bullet in her heart. Well, of course, it wasn't a real bullet, but she'd taken a hit that was so painful to her, it darn near killed her. And I just lifted that. I didn't pray for fibromyalgia at all. I didn't pray for healing at all. I said, Lord, remove that bullet. She fell down. I went on to the next person. It was in Rockford, and there was like 200 people in this line, and I thought, we are never going to get out of here. And I'm way in the back, and here comes this lady, and she says, every bit of pain has left my body for the first time in years. Think about this. She had a wound in her heart. That wound caused so much pain and so much reaction that it was filling her physical body with pain, and all the doctors know to do is give you something to make you feel better. See, the problem with this stuff is it's not visible. You can't see what it's doing. Anyway, let's go back to the shield of faith. God was showing me the shield of faith, but he also showed me another kind of shield. It's called the shield of unbelief. We're talking about removing the limitations. I am persuaded this week more than I ever have been in my life that the limitations we have, you know, it says that they provoked God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. You say, well, who could limit God? God can do anything he wants. Well, he can, except in his sovereignty, he said, I'm letting you rule the earth, Adam. I was going to do a little skit, but I don't really have the stuff. But I'm going to have you imagine it. Let's say I have a dollar bill. And I ask Kimmy to come up here and I say, Kim, this is your dollar. Do with it. It's your dollar. I'm giving it to you. It's not mine. It's yours. And if she takes that dollar and rips it in half and throws it on the floor, I would be a thief if I said, well, I'm taking it back. Because it's not my dollar. I gave that dollar to her. And that's what we do to God. He has given us sovereignty. And often we drive the car off the cliff and then blame God. Why did you let that happen? Or maybe not us. Maybe it's somebody in our family or someone we loved or our kid. See, he cannot and will not go back on his word. God cannot lie. And once he makes a vow, heaven and earth can move, but that vow will not change. He can't, physically cannot lie. He can never break his oath. It's immutable. That means eternal. Once God said something, that's it. So he says to Adam, I'm giving you authority. Remember? The birds of the air, the fish of the sea, everything creeps on the earth, over all the earth. Adam, I'm giving you the earth. Fill the earth and subdue it. Subjugate it. Force it to come. That means, subjugate means to force it to come under your dominion. Make it obey you. That's what he meant. Do you hear me? You should be telling the earth exactly what it can do and not do. You say, well, I don't have enough money. Where's the money? Is it in heaven? No, it's in the earth. All the resources that you need are in this earth. Tell them to come. You say, that's crazy. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. I was driving down the road one day and I said, God, I want to hear your opinion on this. I have friends that think prosperity is a bad thing, and I have friends that think prosperity is a good thing, and I don't really care about any. I just don't care. I've never cared what kind of house I mean, like I live in a tent. I just don't care. I never did. But I want to know how he feels. I said, how do you feel about that whole thing? He said, I own the cattle on a thousand hills. I own all the oil, all the diamonds, all the gold, all the treasury bonds, all mine. And I would appreciate it if some of my children, my church, would begin to appropriate it to use it for the furtherance of the gospel. Mm-hmm. See, money was meant to be used to build the kingdom. You can't do that if you don't have it. People got mad at one great preacher because he was asking for money. I'm like, wait a minute, let me get this straight. Whether you like the man or not, he just spent $75,000 on that stadium ahead of time believing that people will show up and give him enough money. And oh, wait, you're ticked because he asked for them to help? Pardon me, but that's nonsense. Just saying. Just saying. People who go overseas spend everything they have to be able to go and, wait, risk their lives, spend all their means. I have friends. They go to Pakistan, and it's not always popular. They've had rocks thrown at them. They've had spears thrown at them. They've had to run and leap over walls. They've spent everything they have to do this. Pardon me if I think we ought to support people like that. Just saying. How can you support them if you don't have the means? That's what money is for. Anyway, I don't know how we got there. But God is trying to straighten out our thinking. One of the things he taught me back when I believed all these lies was that by my behavior and by my words, I was essentially calling God a liar. Because I was saying, but you said, your word says this, but my circumstance is this. And you said this, but my circumstance is that. Oh, okay, Holly. So your circumstances are bigger than what God has said? No. That was a fool speaking like a fool. A Christian fool. Elevating my feelings and my circumstances. Boo-hoo, poor me, I lost everything. Oh, please. The truth is, if you're a Christian, you own everything. You just don't know it. The truth is, if you're a believer, all of heaven belongs to you. You just don't know what you're doing. And I didn't. And it was costing me everything and nearly cost me my life. And you know why the devil fought me so hard? Because he saw this day. I didn't. He did. See, why do you think the devil tries to take you out? Because he knows more than you do about your future. And I don't know how he does. I said this Sunday. Some of you might have heard it on Facebook, but I'm just going to say it again. Edgar Bailey did not get saved till he was about 55 years old. He was clueless about God. Didn't know God, didn't want to know God, lived like the devil, according to him. You might not know this about Edgar. But before he got saved, he drank scotch. He smoked cigars. He smoked, I forget how many packs of cigarettes every day, and he chased women. And he had a boat, and see, I'm telling you, he was a sinner, and he wasn't just a minor sinner, he was a sinner. And he didn't want anything to do with God. The devil knew something about Edgar that Edgar didn't know. And so from the time Edgar was born, the devil tried to kill him 11 times, even in his youth. Why do you think the devil's trying to take you out? Is it possible that he's seen something about you? Why is he such a nervous Nelly about your life? Why did he cause some of those things to happen? He's not stupid. He's a jerk, but he's not stupid. He's mean, but he's not stupid. He's shrewd, shrewd. What did Jesus say? He wants us to be as shrewd as the devil. You need to be more shrewd than the devil. You need to see through this junk that he's trying to do to you. He's trying everything he knows to take you out. Trying everything he knows to cut your life short. Put a stop to you. If he can't do anything else, he's going to try to keep you in ignorance of the Word of God and the power of it. My biggest mistake was it took me too many years to learn the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. The power of what God has said. And the power of somebody who will steadfastly stand on the Word of God and say, I don't care what you say, devil, and I don't care what the circumstance says. This is what's true. Back off. Amen. Will he push back? Sure he will. And what a lot of people do is go, well, he pushed back. I guess it wasn't God. Yes, it was. Did he say so? Yes. Yeah. If he wrote it, it is. Unless you wimp out. And so, a very wise woman said this. She said, the devil will press on you not till he knows you have the authority, because he already knows that, but until he knows you know. He will push on you and shove on you and whisper junk to you until he sees, oh, I can't get her on that one. Once I learned my authority, there was a war on, but I got it. I'm telling you, something went off on the inside and I knew it. I knew it. Did he just give up instantly? Mm-mm. He'd push back and I'd go, nope. And it must have been many times, back and forth, back and forth. But last man standing wins. That's how you win in every battle, is you just won't go down. And how you stand is the truth. Having done all things, you stand. I used to not know what that meant. People would say, well, just stand on the Word. I'd be like, what are you talking about? I didn't even get it. I didn't even get how much power was in the Word. I should have, because they were preaching at me, but I didn't get it. Once I really got, listen, if you get a real revelation of the power of the book on your table or the app in your phone, once you get that God has spoken it, heaven and earth hangs on the Word of God. The earth twirls on its axis because of the Word of God. The Bible says all things are held together by the power, by the Word of His power. It's by His Word. The chair you're sitting on. It's all held together. And listen, that doesn't change when we die and go to heaven. In heaven, all things are held together by the Word of His power. We will talk about the Word. Our eyes will be open to things in the Word we never dreamed to see. There's so much in there. But here's what you need to know. It is the complete authority and the final word. And when you're going to have trouble is when the devil says, well, that's not really true because look at what happened. What happens here is nothing but a little shadow. What happened when Jesus did it and wrote it is eternal. And it is finished, but you have the job of bringing it into manifestation because you believe it. So the shield of unbelief is this. Lord, give me the words. Let's say that you have a wound and a scar and a pain and all this stuff. Let's say something really terrible happened to you. Something so bad you can't even talk about it. And I know people like this. Stuff happens and people, they can't even share it because it's so bad. They can't even talk about it in the church because they don't know if they'll just get hurt more. True. It's truth. People carry that stuff for years. And we're hard on them and we judge them because they don't act just the way we think they ought to act. Well, they can't. They can't because they're mangled on the inside. They've been crippled by scarring that we can't see. Let's just give each other a little grace. Let's say that somebody has a scar. I'll just give you an example. Someone is abused in such a terrible way. And I don't know how the devil manages to do this, but one of the common responses to that I see a lot is the person feels like it's somehow their fault, when in fact, it was the devil using an abuser. Do you hear me? Because somehow they are told by the devil that this was your fault that this happened. What a lie. Sometimes there really is a victim. And it wasn't deserved, and there was just a devil using a person. But let's say that this little child, let's say, is abused. And they begin to take on that somehow I must have done something wrong. Somehow I deserved that. I am no good. My brothers and sisters are good, but I'm no good. Now they come to church, they get saved, they come to church, and for years I preach at them that God has forgiven them. They're free from guilt and condemnation. They don't have to carry their shame anymore. They don't have to carry guilt anymore. But they can't hear me because inside they have a belief system tied to the wound that says, yeah, that's true, but I'm damaged goods. So it doesn't apply to me. Okay, so get the picture now. There's a wound, a scar, a cord that goes up to our head. Attached to it is a shield of unbelief saying, I hear your words. I know that's the word of God. And I know that's true for the people all around me. But not me. Because I'm no good. This is just one example. I could probably give you 1,000. I'm not giving you that one because that's your shield of unbelief. Most of us have a whole bunch of them. Let me just say this. I believe that if we removed the limiting belief systems that we have, let's say that we were able to, I've been working on this for years, by the way, and I'm not there yet. But here's the good news. The more free you get from these lying belief systems, the better you can see. And the better you can spot them and say, wait a minute, that's not true. The word says this. And what you might be praying, or God will give you a dream, or God will somehow highlight it. Don't ever get in condemnation over it. God is never about that. When God shows you a little problem or a big problem, he's never doing it to beat you up. That is not his nature. And if you have that, that's a demon. Give him the boot. Even if you did the thing wrong, the demon has no right to get in there and make you feel condemned. We are guilty. So what? What, is the world supposed to stop spinning because I screwed up? Come on. But, oh, we get all guilty and condemned. That's a devil. Listen, God doesn't ever convict us because he's mad. Yeah, that's not the way God convicts anyway. Never. Never, ever, 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 ever. God does convict us, and he does love when we repent, especially of wrong belief systems. Because remember, a lot of times a wrong belief system, a false belief system, is us basically saying, I know more than you, God. I know you said this, but I know more. Because, you know, this happened and this happened, and my feelings say this, so you couldn't be telling me the truth. So you're a liar, and I'm right, and you're wrong, and I'm smarter than you are. That's what we're saying. Come on, we need to do some repenting about this stuff. And it took me years to get this, that I was essentially calling God a liar. I essentially had this entire cap of unbelief, mad at God. No one knew, but I was spitting mad at God. I'm telling the truth. I was mad. What is your deal? You're my best friend and you let this. I wouldn't do this to a dog, I used to think. That's how I felt. Come on, let's be honest. I'm sure none of you have ever been mad at God. I was spitting mad. You know how sweet he is. Here's one great thing about God. God looked past all my garbage and saw the pain. He saw that I almost lost my life. He saw that I was so wounded I couldn't do better. That would be like if you had a baby and somebody came along and jabbed a thorn down in him. You wouldn't be mad at him for screaming and crying. Would you? Or if you had a sweet little dog and somebody broke their leg and then you tried to get close to them and they snapped at you, you wouldn't be mad because you'd know they're just in pain. And you'd try to be gentle with them. You'd try to help them. You got to understand who God is. He was tempted on all things like as we are. If anybody knows about pain, it's Jesus Christ. If anybody knows about rejection, it's Jesus. If anybody knows what it is to be hated without a cause, it's Jesus. If anybody knows what it is to have your own family reject you and make fun of you, it's Jesus. Oh yeah, look it up. Jesus went through all of it, yet without sin. And so if we stop to consider, here's the problem with all this subconscious stuff is you can't see it. You're not aware of it. You're only aware of your conscious. And if you're an intellectual person, you can quote the word and teach the word to have it all together. And why aren't things working? Why do you behave really well most of the time and out of the blue something happens and boom, you have an emotional reaction. You think, where did that come from? That's not like me. Come on. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah. Whenever you have behavior that's not in keeping with your personality, it's because it's not you. It's a little flag going, I have a problem. I need to look at this. You know, most of us go, la, 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 la. I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. And then we say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I did that, forgive me. Okay, I'm forgiven, amen. But we never deal with the thing. So we continue with this behavior system. God's not mad at you, and it will not keep you out of heaven. He loves you if you never get free. He loves you if you never get free. He loves you, adores you. You know why he wants you to get free? Because he wants you to walk in the blessings and the security and the power of the Lord with great freedom and joy. He wants you to. And those are the things that are the limiting factors that stop you because you've got this shield of unbelief with which you are able to quench every fiery dart of God. You hear me? God's saying, you can do this. No, I can't. I forgave you. Well, not me. I love you. No, no, not really. Come on. You got this shield of unbelief. Thinking somehow God is mad at you or somehow it didn't apply to you. Big fat liar. Come on. We need to start considering why we behave the way we behave. Why we say some of the things we hate. Listen, if you say something, I live with me. And sometimes I'll say something, I'll think, that was just the dumbest thing to say. But here's the real question. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What was in there that made me say that? Things that make you go, Jesus said, if a man looks at a woman with lust in his heart, he has committed adultery with her. Jesus was not picking on the men, and he was not picking on adultery. He was saying, sin is a system, it's systemic, it's what's in you, and all that outward stuff, that's just an outward manifestation. So if you're constantly trying to cut off the outward manifestation and calling that deliverance, it ain't. If you don't get the thing out and only the Holy Ghost can help you, you can't even do that by yourself. You can't do that by yourself. if you're trying to get your deliverance from any habit or, you know, condemning sentence or whatever it is, I'm just going to tell you, you have to work with God. He's given you sovereignty, so He will not just push a button and do it. But you don't have the ability in your flesh to do it without Him. That's why it's called a relationship. You walk together on this journey that will go through the duration of your life. But if you haven't set your course, I hope you set it tonight. For me, I set it a long time ago. I don't care how long it takes. I want this junk out of here. You know, first you go after the big stuff, right? The big five. Right? The really big ones. You go after those. And then a lot of people go, well, I'm free. No, you're not. You big liar. You got attitudes and all kinds of stuff. Come on, I do too. Come on, come on, come on. Stop playing. And then God begins to, I remember I went through some years of emotional healing and I could finally think straight. God said, good, now we're going to work on your mind. I'm like, what are you talking about? I got it. I'm doing good. He said, your mind's like a garbage can. I said, what are you talking about? I thought he was talking about, you know, all the dirty stuff. And I was free from all that. I was free from the big stuff. He said, I'm not talking about any of that. He said, your mind is like a garbage can. I said, what do you mean? He said, you are so negative. You don't believe anything I said. Very little. Oh, you believe you're saved. You believe I love you. You finally got that. But if I promise you something, you're like Sarah in her tent. Ha, ha, ha. So you might as well just call me a liar. You see, how can we walk in power if we don't deal with the trash? Because that is where our behavior comes from. That is where unbelief comes from, and that is where faith comes from. And the older I get, the more persuaded I am that the biggest limiting factor, the single biggest one, is unbelief, but it stems from all these sources. So some of you know David Hogan, right? The guy who raised like a jillion people from the dead and raised up teams, taught them how to do it. I don't know, last count was like 250-something. But I could really go there. He taught people how to raise the dead. Think about it. Come on, think about it. You'll get it. That means he didn't just have an anointing that God gave him. He taught it, and they did it. So, he's in America, and he's kind of a tough cookie. Not a pleasant man. He's a powerful man, but he can be a little, you know, terse. You know, you think I'm terse. Boy, oh boy. He's really, he'll singe the hair, right? And he preaches this powerful sermon. At the end, he says this, please, please, please deal with the unbelief. That's what he said. We all want miracles, and we believe God for them, but I'm going to tell you something. If we don't deal with the crap in our head, I'm just going to say it like it is. We don't deal with the junk that we need to deal with. How can we believe God for great miracles? Can you see yourself healing blind eyes? Can you visualize yourself raising a dead person? Because if you can't yet, and I'm not condemning anybody, it takes a while to retrain your mind. Because you can't, it's not enough to just believe God can do it. Or God wants to do it. You have to believe God will use me to do it. Do you hear me? You have to get to a place where you say, yeah, God will use me, not because I'm worthy, not because I earned it, but because I'm His kid and have cleaned up my mind and I believe Him and I'm not going to resist Him with unbelief. You know what the scriptures say? It says that the people, the children of Israel, could not enter the land, the promise, couldn't get the promise because of their unbelief. It wasn't because of the golden calf. You'd think it would be. It wasn't even because of their wretched disobedience or even their complaining. It was because they had unbelief. They limited God, and He got about tired of it and said, you're not even going in. You continually called me a liar. That's my paraphrase. How are we any different? So we have to deal with our thoughts, our wounds, our limiting factors. We have to deal with the unbelief. I know a guy. He's not even a Christian. He's a Jewish man. He's a brilliant businessman. He's paid all kinds of money to teach people how to do business. But he says this is actually biblical, but he probably doesn't know it. Or he may know it because he's a Jewish man. You know the scripture. Now, he didn't quote this. This is me. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, or so does he become. Right? Yeah. This guy said, until you can see it in here, you will not see it out here. If you can't see it on the inside, you're not going to see it on the outside. And he said an interesting thing. Now, I believe in making confessions, writing out confessions, and speaking them that are scripture-based. It's life-changing. Life-changing. But what he said was interesting. He said, I write vivid word pictures. I write vivid word pictures that cause me to see the end result. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. We have to rethink our belief systems. And we have to begin to challenge. When the devil comes to you and says, yeah, God will do that for other people, but not you, or God's mad at you, or any of that junk, stop the bus. Say, wait a minute. Go to God and say, where did that come from? Show me the root of that belief system. And oftentimes, you'll just have a little memory. It's not like you have the great thunder and lightning vision. You just have a boop, boop, little memory. He'll show you sometimes the very moment that thing came in. The very moment. Now, what are you going to do when you see it? Where is the sin in it? Because usually what's happened is we've either believed a lie, which is sin, right? Because for us to believe a lie, again, it's to call God a liar. To say, I know more than you. I know you said that, but I know more. Because, you know, my emotions say this, so I'm right and you're wrong. Sin. Sin needs to be repented of. You want to get free, it can be done in seconds. I just had it happen to me the other day. God gave me a dream, made no sense whatsoever to me. And I started puddling through the dream book, and what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? And all of a sudden I went, oh, I have a problem. Part of the dream was I was told to vacuum the carpets. You know what that means? Means purging, get the junk out. I'm like, oh, nuts. And I'm praying, going, what is that? How did it get in there? What's going on? And all of a sudden, just as I'm praying, I get this boop. Oh. Yeah, that's sin. I had, through, because of pain, very deep wounding that was something between me and God. It wasn't even a person that did this. It was something that happened in the death process where I was dying to ministry. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Go to the website and get A Destiny to Die For. Jesus told us to die to ourselves. He said, if any man would be my disciple, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, his death device, his torture device, and follow me. That's Christianity. We can talk about blessing all we want, but real Christianity is picking up your cross and saying, I'm not going to live for me anymore, my deal, my dream, no matter how what it is. Even if God promised it to me, it will not be my God. He will. Ministry will not be my idol. He will. Amen. So it's neither here nor there to me if I minister or not. But at one time, that was the reason I breathed, was the hope of doing something for him. That kept me alive during all the dark years. And now, oh, guess what? You're not doing that. We might as well just stab me with a knife. So then I had to go through that whole death process. And it was a wounding so deep, I thought, I don't know if I can make it through this one. Because that's the only reason I was stayed alive. It was a certain thing that I desired more than life. And who put that in there? He did. I said, he did. I said, well, why would he have you die to it? Because he will have no other gods before him. People who are called to ministry who don't die to ministry become terrible ministers. Because it's all about them and their deal and not him and his deal. That was just free, that part. And so during those years, I had some terrible, terrible wounding and pain. And what do? You go on. What are you going to do, right? Lay down and cry? No, you got to keep going, right? What are you going to do? You just keep going. And so if it's not dealt with, you have hidden stuff that you don't even know is there that may still be wounding you, may still be causing behaviors and belief systems, right? The dream was telling me, Holly, you never got that healed. And it's time. Okay. So I'm like, but exactly what is it? You know, because how can you repent if you don't know what is really, what is it? So I'm sitting there praying, saying, you got to help me understand this. And it was like, oh, man, that's a stinker. I'll just tell you what it is. You'll hear it on Word of the Month anyway. How thrilling. I get to tell all my folks. But during that time, and I was ministering by the Holy Ghost, yay, but that wasn't it. I had a certain desire in ministry. And it was a passion that I cared about more than breathing, more than life, more than anything in the world. I mean, I loved that thing more than anything. That was the baby that we talk about. That was the thing. That was the reason I stayed alive all those years. And God killed it. And I'll tell you what, I didn't want to live after that. And so I went on. What do? Nobody knew. I'm ministering by the Spirit. People are, blah, blah, whatever. You know, hallelujah. But the thing was never healed, and in it somewhere, and I'm telling this because somebody's got this, I began to feel like he didn't want it for me. And I could look at history and see these people, these great men and women of God who'd all been chosen to carry this thing that meant more than life to me, but not me. And I felt like rejected by God. Not the other stuff. I could do all the other stuff. That was okay. But the real thing that meant everything, not you, Holly. I've chosen other people for that. Okay. Okay, I said. That's never going to be an idol to me. I'm laying that down. I'm burying it. Get the shovel. Go to the graveyard. Bury it. And that's done. But the pain caused me to have a little tiny stinking lying belief system of, I knew I wasn't rejected by God for other things. I knew I had favor. I knew he loved me. In every other area, but in that area, I felt rejected by God. Somebody's got an issue right here. I'm talking about this for a reason. Now, what's the problem with that? There's a big shield of unbelief right there. Then if God now says to me, the day Edgar died, the day he died about 4:30 in the morning, and by noon, God said, come away with me. I'm thinking, today, really? Don't I get a couple of days to, like, you know, adjust? Nope, come away with me. So I book a hotel and I go away with him for about 5 days. Kind of crabby. I mean, it was fine. The whole thing with Edgar was such a Holy Ghost thing. I was in the Holy Ghost about that, no problem. But kind of wanted to have a little breather. And I get there, and I mean the first words out of his mouth. He said, we made a deal. That's what he said. I'm talking to somebody, so I'm doing this for a reason. He said, we made a deal in your 20s. I told you if you would die to Holly, there were some things I would do in your life. And you did it. Therefore, I have obligated myself. I said, I don't really want to do that anymore. Because you know what? Now I equate it with pain, right? Because when you have a wound, you don't want it anymore. Don't talk to me about it. Don't even bring the promise up to me because it's just going to be more wounding. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. Don't even give me that promise. You're going to do it, but don't wait. Don't talk to me about it because it's too painful. I'm talking to somebody. If I'm talking to you, go, ugh, I know you're in here. Don't lie to me. You don't even want to hear the promise of God because all it has been to you is pain and disappointment. But the fact is, if God put that passion in you, it's because that's what you're called to do. But he won't let you have it as an idol. So he says to me, I'm like, I really don't want to talk about this. You know what they say, talk to the, remember that? Talk to the hand. Ears ain't listening. I really don't want to go there. And then I said the classic Holly line, you know, when you want to do it, let me know. But until then, please just let's not talk about it. Just do it or don't do it. I don't care, but don't talk to me about it. That's not right, I know, but we are close friends. Not justifying him, just saying. He says, here's the thing. I've obligated myself to do it, so we're doing it, whether you like it or not. So you might as well like it. Said it to me. So I'm like, okay, I repent. If you're going to do it, then I'm going to obey you and I'm going to embrace this with joy and hallelujah. but didn't know I still had a little bit of rejected by God. Come on, I'm talking to people. God's trying to get us to deal with our stuff because he wants to bless you. He wants you to fulfill your dream. He wants to do the thing he promised. And he's not the one stopping us. Listen, we say, well, there's a certain timing in God. That's how we excuse why things take forever. Well, God has a certain timing. Yeah, you know what the timing is? When you're ready. When you get all the junk out and you start to walk in faith and deal with your stuff so you can do it at 20, 30, 40, or 80. Or not. Or never. It's not like God has this calendar and there's this dart on it. Okay, on that day, it's just magically going to happen. No. You say, well, the ball is in his court. No, it's not. I'm waiting on God. No, he's waiting on us. He's looking for vessels he can use. But our vessels have to be changed. And we're so busy pointing at everybody else's stuff. Come on, let's just deal with it, right? And you know what? Repentance is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. You know what? It takes about a second. What's the big deal? You shine the light on it. You have him shine the light. And you say, Lord, I see it now. That was sin right there. I believed a lie. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I reject that lie. I know you've heard this before, but guess what? You're going to hear it again. I reject that lie, and from this day, I choose to believe your word or your promise to me, which is, and whatever it is. Now what happened? You've pulled out the shield of unbelief. You've pulled out the cord, and a lot of times, if you can go after that wound and get that healed, now an entire structure of stuff, right? Because sometimes one wound has many strands, many lies, many behavior patterns that all go back to one thing. And most of us have several wounds and scars. So if you could see people in the spirit, right? If you could see people's soul and their wounding, a lot of times you'll see just like a whole network of stuff and cloudy thinking. You ever have cloudy thinking? This is why. This is why. Because there's all these false belief systems that you've believed because of stuff that happened. We are made up of what has happened to us, what's been said to us, what we endured, what we lived through. It's like a dog. I got this cute little dog from my next door neighbor. They had a whole group of puppies and they were down to two and they couldn't get rid of the two. And they wanted me to take this one. I'm like, I want that one. It's this big fur ball. And I took that dog home and I loved that dog. But that dog had a fear. And if I lifted my hand, he'd go like this. I'm thinking, I picked him up. Our dogs don't speak English. But I picked him up and I held him and I said, I will never hurt you. And somehow he knew what that meant. And from that day, he trusted me completely. He trusted me no matter what I want to do, he trusted me. And what I'm saying to you is a lot of times we're like that dog, responding to some hit somebody else gave us, but seeing God as the hitter. And God is saying to you, I will never do that to you. I'm only here to help you. I love you more than you love yourself. I love you more than you love yourself. I want to bless you more than you want to be blessed. My dreams for you are better than your dreams for you. I'm not trying to withhold good things from you. I'm trying to help you get to them. But to do that, I have to help you remove some of the unbelief and the hurt and the wounds and the lies. I want to make you whole again. But you're going to have to trust me and you're going to have to believe my word. You're going to have to choose to elevate my word above your circumstances and your feelings, your emotions, your family, your money, all that stuff. Amen. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.